Curtain High in Belfast for decades, Melandrock and Culverpen dumped tons of mercury into the bay. Washington looked the other way, Augusta looked the other way, and if it weren't for the Maine People's Alliance, we'd be serving seafood, shellfish, to young children saturated with neurotoxins even today. For decades this went on, when people were harvesting in earnest, good faith, and serving this stuff to their children. I had the privilege of speaking with Diane Kopeck, Dr. Diane Kopeck, who advised the court during the Maine People's Alliance court case. Once this mercury hits the water, it becomes methylated, and it's easily ingested by the shellfish, by the plant life, by insect life. At this point, there are breeds of birds on the bay that can no longer reproduce. They're so saturated with mercury. So I am concerned that when these barges go through, some of this mercury will be stirred up, become methylated, and be ingested. There's so much of this stuff that it is a serious problem for fishermen to do their work in good faith. As we saw with Peter Vieg and the Cannon, mistakes happen. If there's a capsize of this cargo, the barge to Searsport in the middle of winter, who's liable for the methylated mercury that's dropped into the bay? Jim Bro, Nordic Farm. Thank you very much.
Hi. Hi, my name is Jim Merkel. I live in Belfast, and I and my son fish. And when I was a boy in the 60s, I caught 20 times more fish than I could catch today. And what I've watched over my lifetime, I'm 63, I've watched that they go dead and start to come back. And it's a serious thing. Well, I believe this factory to be the biggest risk now to Penobscot Bay. Just today it was announced in Denmark, the Danish facility had a mass die-off at an RAS facility. I teach sustainability, but monocultures are the best breeding grounds for the most resistant strains of disease and virus. So we're unable to capture and contain viruses, and UV will not kill it. So I'd like to remind the DMR that Nordic's proposed pipeline is in the most productive estuary in Maine, and also on the eastern seaboard. It's significant as one of the most productive estuary systems. And when Nordic first came here, they were talking about deep ocean currents. 35 feet of water is not a deep ocean current. You get deep ocean currents 20 miles out at Rockland, and there's 200 feet of water. A pipeline from a facility like this should be into 200 feet of water. That's what they were telling us at all the information meetings. So, there's big risks, and one of them, aside from the dredging, as the man before me said, that when it's stirred up, it gets into all of life and bioaccumulates up the food chain. And there are systems that do reclaim the mercury out of this dredges, and they use suction and they use techniques to actually strip the mercury out before they put the sediment. So I would urge you to look at those systems and have Nordic, if it's going to be pumping it up, to at least reclaim the mercury as it's coming up. And the mercury is not just going to spread through fish or just that sediment, because all the small life will take it up, birds will take it up, everything in the food chain takes it up, and the vectors go everywhere. It's not just this little location. It goes all over the bay and all over the land as well. And I just want to point you to an 11-year study done in Moulton Bay, Port Moulton Bay, Canada, in 2018. And they did a study for 11 years of pen lobsters, but the findings were really interesting because they applied to the RAS system as well. And the pipeline, there they found a drop in 42% of lobster take when the fish farm was running, 52% decrease in buried lobster. And the thing, why they found it was because the lobsters need to sniff, and they use aerotonic chemoreceptors on their legs. But if the whole world smells like salmon, they can't find their food. They have to find the food by their smell. And so that big pipeline dumping out there I mean, Department of Marine Resources, I'm asking you to think about what and study and not just permit this, because I would urge you to look at this Port Moulton Bay study, because the odors are also used to find mates, detect predators, and avoid environmental stresses. And so all that is going to be coming in their tailpipe. Sure. So, yeah, I'll finish with that. And I do, like others, really urge you to look more widely at the impacts of this. I know you have a very limited scope tonight, but I think I would like you to go wider with your consideration and studies and use independent experts as well. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Becky Bartovich. I represent Sierra Club Maine and our 28,000 members and supporters. I live on North Haven Island, and my son is a lobsterman. I am disturbed by the fact that the notice that I got for this meeting did not state that it was strictly to do with the actual dredging. And so my comments are more ranging than that I've submitted already are more ranging, but I think that we need to have a chance to have an adjudicated hearing that has to do with the impact of the fisheries, because I do not feel, and I don't think many people feel, that there's been enough research done on this project. I want to just mention a couple of things. First of all, there should be a regional cumulative ecosystem risk assessment done before we add this to the bay. We will be requesting an environmental impact statement, full and transparent. I hope that that will get done. I think the DMR needs to participate in this, and we do need an adjudicated hearing, because it does not feel like our voices are being heard, and frankly, it also did not look like there was much interest taken by the folks at the head table, except for Mr. Vignot. It looks like people are rolling their eyes when people are talking, so I just want to point that out. I want to say that this CAFO, which is the abbreviation for Contained Animal Feedlot, is being presented to us by Nordic Aqua Farm, and on their very website, it states it has been a moving target. It's been a moving target for the last couple of months as to, what they actually have in their existing Frederickstadt location. They talk about this process, about what they are doing, and they have sold this project on the fact that they have a history of providing the seafood. And they have yet to sell a single pound of salmon. It's every time I look, and I've been looking for the last year and a half, it is moved ahead another quarter or another couple of quarters. And so they do not even have an operating facility. And this proprietary project that they have, I don't think we have any reason to believe that it actually works, because they have no historical data. It also, as many people have mentioned already, the outfall from that project is in 250 or 300 feet of water. I want to know whether this is an RAS, which is a recirculating aquaculture system, or a flow-through system. Looks to me like they have 18% of their water running through it, about 320,000 gallons per hour of running through a filtration system. So the outflow of that, it's unlikely that, I don't understand how a filtration system can work like that. I'd like to see some proof before we have it happen in the bay. And that we don't have any proof, because it doesn't operate yet. The scale of this project is way too high, too big. The discharge temperature and salinity that's coming out there, that you've already heard from other folks, but I don't think anybody's talking about anoxia and stratification. I think that has to be looked at. We really need a regional cumulative ecosystem risk analysis done by the DMR, the whole bay. Existing systems, fish hatcheries, and wastewater discharge that already happens in the bay may already be done to a lower standard than they say they're going to provide. But adding this to the bay is going to make a huge difference. And now they want to go to the dredge material. I just want to mention that you know, you have not looked at, or it doesn't appear that you've looked really at where that material is going to be put. There should be drawings about where it is. They're not there. Is it going to be behind a curtain? Is it going to be behind a curtain? What are the microns necessary to filter out mercury? That's not answered. That, yes, it will be, we promise, but I'd like to see that, because the mercury is a serious problem. And it's for all of our children and the children of every living thing in this bay, from the bottom of the food chain all the way up to the top. And I just want to mention, you know, as has been mentioned before, the anadromous fish that are rebounding in the bay. For the first time in the last, since we opened the river, opened the dams, we have anadromous fish coming back into the bay. And there are schooling in the bay. I mean, I haven't seen school of fish for 20 years, but now in the last couple of years, when I go across the bay, I see schooling fish. We know that the juveniles live in the subtidal zone, just subtidal zone, and around there when they come down the river, and they live there for a while before they go out to the sea. This area and this project could dramatically impact that return of life to this bay. We, again, thank you.
So, again, I just want to, I'm sorry to sound like a broken record on this, but I've heard this from three or four different people tonight, and I just want to make sure that the record is straight on this point and that everybody understands this is an informational gathering hearing, okay? The department noticed it as an informational gathering hearing. The department is going to make accommodations for people to submit additional written comments on factors that they were not aware of before tonight that they would like to have an opportunity to be heard on in writing. That being said, I've heard at least three or four different people make reference to the fact that there should be an adjudicatory hearing. And what that means, for those that don't understand, is a full-blown hearing with rules of evidence and people testifying under oath and cross-examination. The rules, the law does not require the Department of Marine Resources to hold an adjudicatory hearing for the purposes of these proceedings. This is,
nor do we have any authority to.
They don't. And there is no hearing process under Title 12, which is the one statute where DMR provides the broader ecological assessment to DEP. Under 480D, it does require that a hearing be held if requested by five or more people, but that statute does not specify that it is an adjudicatory hearing. And in fact, there is no purpose to be served by an adjudicatory hearing in this process, because DMR does not adjudicate anybody's rights. All it does is it provides an assessment to DEP in an advisory role that DEP can do whatever they want with. They can accept DMR's recommendations or they can reject DMR's recommendations. So the whole purpose of this is information gathering. That's our goal. I assure you DMR is listening to what you have to say. They've been very patient in accepting additional comments beyond the scope of Title 38. They will take everything that's being said into consideration. There's a full record being kept. Records are being submitted. This is being recorded. They will review the record and provide their assessment on that basis. So again, we don't have to, you get your point on the record. We don't have to talk any further about adjudicatory hearings as far as this process is concerned. Thanks.
Hello, Mike Hurley, Belfast City Councilor, resident of Belfast. For 2 years, we've been listening to many conflicting opinions, information, studies of every kind. All I would say is the people of Belfast are very much interested in what the Environmental Protection Board is going to say and what DMR is going to say. I want to thank you for coming to Belfast and listening to all this and reading everything that people are providing to you. We're really counting on you to do a good job. We all love the bay and the ocean, so I'm pretty sure your jobs would include that description. So thank you very much, and looking forward to how this affects I've lived here a long time. I know a lot of these fishermen. None of them have ever come up to me and tell me they're fishing in mercury-laden grounds. I hope they're not. It really worries me that they would do that. So, when I hear 5 or 6 inches down, there's a bed of mercury, and I don't know that to be true. I wouldn't want to eat a lobster that was rolling around over 5 or 6 inches above a bed of mercury. Thank you very much.
You're doing a joint statement. I'll start.
All right, go ahead. Hi, my name is Anne Segese. I'm a resident of Belfast. And I'm Diane Braybrook, also a resident of Belfast. And we represent the Fisher OK, which is a pro-Nordic organization for many, many people that are for this and are excited for this to go. Unfortunately, when people are for something, they don't show up. So we are the face of them. We just wanted to say briefly that Maine is famous for its clean water and nice cold ocean and pristine shoreline. And a lot of that has to do with the work that you guys do. So thank you for that. And we have faith that you're going to take all the information you hear and come back to us with a good judgment. So thank you.
And that's it. Did you turn that off on me? No. It's on.
You did. There are many, many people that are very confident that people, the job you do, you're competent at, and you know what you're doing. And we're not scientists, but we believe that the process is going well, and that the people that have the expertise are using their expertise to their best, the best they can. We all want a good day, and we thank you for helping us with that.
Yeah, John Kruger, I mentioned earlier my concerns about the announcement, and I guess I will just submit it for the record, so we can review later, what your role would be in dealing with fisheries. We talked about the fishermen. Who's protecting the fisheries? I have a submittal here, which I will provide you and for your comments. It goes into great detail on RIS technologies, thermal load contribution for temperatures increase in the bay. Sort of curious feature here. I looked at this as an engineer. The 7.7 million gallons a day, just with the temperature difference, if you calculate it out in terms of thermal load, it's like the equivalent of 10,000 gallons of gasoline burning a day. There's a lot of heat going into the bay. We've talked about the dredging and we've talked about a pipe, but I find it hard to understand how our Department of Marine Resources hasn't really looked at the effect of this, comes out of this pipe for its fisheries. The currents in the bay are a concern. I think there's a concern how the currents will change, even with this pipe. We've seen Nordic's modeling, and we've hired oceanographers and actually come up with a 180-degree difference in the direction the currents will go. On viruses, this is something where your department wrote a fairly supportive letter to the DEP describing how good the RAS technology is. And that was one of the reasons that we wanted to come here tonight and was to talk about this. We've inquired and looked at your program. They made references to how inland fishery and wildlife hatcheries and how much better the RAS system is. And because our inland fishery and wildlife really don't treat their flow-through systems, it's not a reason to say that Nordic is good. It's better. In fact, we looked at the Department of Environmental Protection monitoring results on the inland fishery and wildlife hatcheries, and they're sending out pollutants. They're not working pretty well in that regard. One of our concerns with the viruses, which I would expect a DMR to take an interest in, is the Williamsburg Treaty, which is a treaty between the U.S. and Canada in regards to protecting Atlantic salmon. And particular issues are the sources of eggs and the concern for disease. Concerns for, in fact, Canada right now is suggesting that they won't permit anybody unless they use all aquifer water because of the concern for disease. And part of this came from the net pen hatcheries. We've allowed them, and we've introduced a huge amount of virus to the point where we have to talk in orders of magnitude. Other concerns are the C1 fishery status and potential, assessment of the Nordic permit to satisfy Clean Water Act. Who has the responsibility other than DMR to set standards? How do we test for these viruses? What are the monitoring procedures? Are there going to be, what's coming out of this pipe? Who's going to be looking at it from a fisheries perspective? The DEP is not. And if the only thing the DMR is going to provide to the DEP is going to be this the report from Dr. Russell, there ought to be some backup on that. Let's say we've inquired and got information from the Newfoundland talking about the effects of viruses. It's really important. Other issues have to do with finances and the threats to marine resources. I'm going to submit my comments here for the record and ask that you read them.
Well, I want to thank you for coming. I think I understand that, I do understand that you didn't have to, and you're here. And I'm a citizen of Belfast, and, oh, I'm sorry, I did on the page. I'm Linda O'Connor Orman, and I've been going to the different hearings, and my opinions have been from the information that I'm garnering and my concerns for our environment. I'm grateful for the time and history that we are all sitting here in, that we, the public, are able to come, and that the awareness keeps rising among us. And so as far as the clear piece about the dredging and about the pipe, the piece that's always concerned me is the pipe itself that is, I understand bringing in salt water for the fish, but the pipe that is actually putting out the effluent is putting effluent out into our bay that the fish in the tanks can't live in. And that just seems, with the technology that's out there these days, that a closed system for that purpose, where they have their own refinery or whatever you call it, that can actually make and bring the water into a recirculating manner, would take care of any of the concerns about our bay. And I just, at this time in history, with what we know about what corporations and humans are doing to the planet, that it's time to start saying no to some things. And I don't know, I know you can't say no to the whole project, but please continue to take in concerns of all the people who are here tonight, all the people who keep showing up, and the future of our bay, because we're not going to get a second chance to turn this one around. And so really appreciate your time, and I appreciate that I, as a person, a citizen, am able to speak to you today. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike Lannon from Northport. I live in the village of Bayside, right? And,
right in the mic.
Yeah, better?
Thanks.
Yeah, so I live in the village of Bayside, and since I'm going near the end here, I'm going to try to stay focused on what you said is the agenda for today.
Thank you.
So, Bayside is a registered historic place, and we do actually have quite a bit of fishing that goes on, and part of the tourist industry is actually a lot of people running cottages and looking out and watching the lobstermen and so on. That's half the fun, and the sun rises pretty early in the summer, so people are out bending over there around. And When you look at some of the modeling that's been done by Nordic with respect to where the plumes are going, and you translate that to the dredging operation, and I'm a chemical engineer, when you're talking about silt fences and you're talking about disturbing mercury that's bonded to the soil, and when you stir it and it starts to disassociate because it's now free in the water, that stuff's not going to get captured by the fence. And when you look at the plumes, the plumes are going towards that area. By their design, they're going back and forth, and then they're moving eventually down south. And there's some question about whether it's going to impact the sort of eelgrass along the side. But I'm just looking at it from the trend of the dredging operation and moving the materials. That's where it needs to go, and it's just, we're just not that far away. Our mooring field is only a quarter of a mile from this whole operation. So there is a lot of concern about that, and we're just hoping that that there can be a significant amount of testing done on the actual materials before it is drawn and pulled up. And I know City Council Hurley, Mr. Hurley was talking about the stuff that's down in the soil a little bit, but once it gets down in there, it's bonded almost like a salt, so it's not as big a deal. It's when we stir it up, it's analogous to like asbestos. If it's not friable, it's not really a problem, and that's where it is right now. So I just want to make sure that when this is done, we don't kick it up, because all of this is talking directly about dredging, but this is one part of sort of construction operations and maintenance and everything that goes along with that. And there'll be probably some discharge from whatever they feed the fish to that could add some metals to the area as well. So it's kind of all fitting together, and I'm just worried that they're going to disturb some and cause a problem in the area. So that's the comment. So if you guys could look specifically at that, that would be great. End of dredging. Thank you.
Anybody else? Right. The record will not close this evening. It will close on March 12th. Can you hear me?